The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Now we step into Mind Matters right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Entrepreneurship and family business is the topic. Sajid Hamid is our guest this morning. Good morning to you, sir, and welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM.
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm hearing you loud and clear. It's Sajjad.
Good. Sajjad. Sorry about that pronunciation. I do apologize. So welcome. And let's start off talking about the parameters for the space of entrepreneurship in the family. How do we start off with that?
Right. Well, entrepreneurship and family business go together. We all know who an entrepreneur is. An entrepreneur is someone who starts a business, grows a business. And in families, the very successful family businesses, and you have a lot of them out there, like Associated Brands, you know, they own Sunshine and Devon, the Bhagwan Singhs, the SM Jaleel. They are very entrepreneurial, meaning that they could spot opportunities where most people can't, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to the previous call-in person there who's talking about diversification, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to have diversification, the private sector plays a very important role. And in the private sector, you need more entrepreneurs. Now, it's unfortunate, in my opinion, that we don't have enough entrepreneurs in Trinidad. But we have a lot of people who complain and, you know, who talk about this and talk about that. But entrepreneurs hold the key to creating wealth and income and employment and making our economy more vibrant and innovative. And the United States, you can see some popular ones, you know, like Elon Musk.
Mm-hmm.
You have like Bill Gates. You have them in Trinidad too, but we just don't have enough of them. But family businesses is actually in the blind spot. We deal with them every day, but we never think about them. And if you have a formal education in management, you probably will not have studied family business. And it's very unfortunate. And I think we need to focus a lot more on family businesses.
So let's talk about the entrepreneurial mindset. From your experience, what are the key characteristics that define the mindset of a successful entrepreneur?
Right. So entrepreneur, sometimes we look at them and we are puzzled, you know, by how they act, right? So it's the way how they think and how they act. And it's a psychological thing. So one key attribute that you could see what an entrepreneur is doing is that they are risk takers, but they are more like calculated risk takers, meaning that they don't take too much risk, which would be like a gambler, right? And the other end of the spectrum, you will have somebody who takes low risk, which is like probably somebody put the money in the bank or something or do something, just buying and selling.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in the middle, you will have the calculated risk taker, which I call the Goldilocks zone in risk taking, right? It's not too high, not too low. That would be one. A second one would be that they are creative problem solvers. And you know, when you go back to like Bill Gates, you know, computers were in the 80s were very complicated, and they found a way to make computers, the software that is, very accessible to the average person. So you don't need to even take a course now. You could jump on Word and you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to being creative problem solvers, they can spot opportunities that most people don't see, right? So for instance, we drive around and you notice, like in my street here in Central, people throw away garbage 3 times a week. In fact, one day I saw the dogs burst up the bags. And I don't live in a very rich neighborhood. And you could see that they're over-consuming, right?
Mm.
Which indicate to me that they have a consumer mindset rather than a producer or mm-hmm. entrepreneur mindset. I only throw away garbage once for the week. So I would take that. And it's not a business, but you see where I'm heading, where you can now use that that some of the garbage, you can compost them and use it, let's say, in your garden or something. Of course, if somebody were to collect that garbage, and I think Swimcol is saying 85% can be recycled or reused, maybe we don't have to import compost, right? And we know we have a food importation problem. So, but entrepreneurs go further than spotting opportunity. They create opportunities that didn't exist. For example, Uber which is the ride sharing business,
mm-hmm.
what they did was that they are a taxi company without taxi cars. And they set up a platform where buyers of the service and sellers would come together and they can do that. But that opportunity didn't exist before. So they created an opportunity that never existed before. And you could see it displayed by sometimes you see a nice property there with some people living and then they move out and they get bought over and drop in and they turn it into a big business. So that probably wasn't an opportunity before. Then they turn it into an opportunity. So those are some of the key aspects of the entrepreneurial mindset.
Mm-hmm. And creativity in problem solving. You mentioned the role of mindset in becoming creative problem solvers. Can you expand on how their minds to think more creatively when faced with challenges?
Right. So I could give you a personal example, for example, in my case. So how I get inspiration sometimes, you know, I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, you probably know entrepreneurs work very long hours. I mean, we don't work, you know, carnival, we work, right? Because we have a business to run. So I would sit back and I would relax for 10, 15 minutes. Now, the human mind is like an iceberg. Much of it is below the waterline, meaning much of your mind is working on the unconscious or subconscious level. So I would sit back and relax. And by relaxing sometimes a difficult thing to do, I would wait and then sometimes, something would leap from below the waterline. And I would say, hey, I got an idea here. So I get inspiration. So I write a column in The Guardian on for entrepreneurs. So you would think the first time I started 10 years ago in the Business Guardian, I said I run out of ideas. But after 200 and something articles, I keep coming up with more and more ideas. And the key to it is that when you face a problem, sometimes it's best to back off from the problem because you have a microscopic view of things. Back off, and maybe you might have a telescopic view. You might see the problem differently. So it takes practice. And that's one of the ways that you could become a creative problem solver.
Spotting opportunities is a crucial skill for entrepreneurs. What strategies do you recommend for entrepreneurs to develop an eye for new business opportunities?
Right. So you could look at it from this way. Look at what people are complaining about. So if people are complaining about, I'm just making this up. Let's say people are complaining about, well, I like tea doubles, but, I can't handle the oil and the grease and that sort of thing. Maybe you could turn doubles into a healthy food. Now, one of the problems with doubles is that there's a lot of latent demand for it, but people just don't want to buy it because of the unhealthy thing. So maybe you might find a way to make Barra healthy. I think that the Barra is probably the issue there, right? Making it healthy, right? So look at what people are complaining about. Look at to find new uses for things that we take for granted, right? So, for example, if take something from another culture. So I remember once eating some street food. A guy had a hamburger, joint. And instead of putting lettuce and tomato on it, he put chow mein on it, right? And I said, you know, this is turning hamburgers on its head. And he was selling a hamburger for the same price as you would buy a hamburger at, let's say, McDonald's. And in my opinion, it tastes much better. And he put in, you know, the garlic sauce and that sort of thing. So when you could spot opportunities and you could become creative by taking things from other cultures and adapting it to our culture. Just like the Americans done with pizza. Pizza is, in Italy, is, I was told, very different from in the United States.
And taking calculated risks, risk-taking is a huge part of entrepreneurship. How do entrepreneurs differentiate between taking a calculated risk and acting impulsively?
Right. So sometimes, you know, you hit on an idea and from the entrepreneurial mindset, ideas will just pop up in your head, right? And entrepreneurs have ideas every day. So you have to be careful about when you come up with an idea. My first advice is that the idea might be half of an idea, which is really a hunch. And an idea by itself may not mean it has commercial potential. Excuse me. So what you got to consider, see ideas as like frogs. You know, you got to kiss a lot of frogs before you find a prince, meaning you got to generate plenty ideas. right? And work through each one like an experiment and test them out and see what the market thinks about it. And if the market thinks about it, that then you have validation, then you could go on and build a business around it. So one risk management strategy entrepreneurs use when they experiment with new things, they start small, they get feedback, and then they could upscale the business if it is successful.
Stress, anxiety, and burnout. Entrepreneurs often deal with high levels of stress, anxiety, and burnout. From a psychological standpoint, why do you think these challenges are so common, and what can entrepreneurs do to manage them better?
Well, the very nature of entrepreneurship is that you work very long hours. According to Elon Musk, the guy who owns SpaceX and Tesla, is that you got to work 60 hours a week. And entrepreneurs work very long hours. So as a result of that, you have the stress, you have the anxiety, which is you're worried about something in the future. You may even have depression when you're worried about something that happened in the past. And burnout is when you have that mental state where you just feel that you cannot go on. You cannot go on. You're just tired, right? Mentally tired. So what you can do is that exercise is probably one of the best things to do. What I do when I'm burnt out, I don't go to the gym, right? I don't like the gym. So I have a backyard garden. So I would go out there and I would plant and I would water my plants and I would, harvest the fruits and hopefully I could cook them. Latest research on that is showing that if you exercise in green spaces, it is much better than exercising in a room, right? So exercise is very important. Of course, eating properly, fruits and vegetables is very important because your gut bacteria produces most people don't notice most of your happiness chemical, which is something called serotonin. And serotonin helps you, it motivates you, and you keep happy. And you need to be happy, right? Now, you could eat ice cream, yeah, no problem, but that won't last long. So your gut bacteria needs to be fed with fruits and vegetables. You need socializing, you need networking. And if it has gone too far, well, you need professional help to help you with your stress and your anxiety and your burnout.
The comfort zone. Staying in the comfort zone can be tempting, but it's not conducive to growth. How do you help entrepreneurs push themselves outside their comfort zones and embrace discomfort as a tool for growth?
Right. So I wrote an article, I think, last month in the Business Guardian on getting out of your comfort zone, right? Now, your comfort zone is a kind of a safety area where you feel no threats. But the problem with that is that while you are relaxing, I call it the rockabye baby in the hammock sort of thing, situation where, you feel nice and relaxed. And being relaxed is okay, but you can't stay there for too long because what happens is that you start to suffer from psychosis and your organization start to suffer from this, you lose touch with reality because things are happening out there. And if you remember, a few months ago, they introduced a year ago, ChatGPT, and everybody was amazed how this thing could give you answers to almost any question that you have, right? And that just came suddenly, and then the Chinese came with another one. So what you need to do to get out of your comfort zone is that, I'll give you an example of what I did. I like to read a lot, but sometimes when you're reading, your eyes get tired. So recently I want to consume even more without reading. So I bought, Amazon has this Audible, right? And as an example, I've listened to more books this year than I think I've read in 6 months last year. So what happened there? Not only I'm consuming more by using another one of my senses instead of reading, I'm getting it through my hearing, but I'm also developing my hearing. And so my comfort zone was just reading. And there's a limit to how much you could read. So think about it not only from the five senses, you could also think about it as what you're accustomed to in your habits. Maybe you need to change your habits. Now there's a book called Atomic Habits, which I'm now starting to read. It says that when you want to improve yourself, you don't need to go for the something that could transform your life. You know, just that one thing. You could do the 1% things that can improve your life as you go along. So every day look for 1%. And that should get you into another paradigm.
All right, we have time for one more question. The overcoming fear of failure. Fear of failure is something many entrepreneurs face. What advice do you have for overcoming this fear and using setbacks as learning opportunities?
Well, failure comes with the territory of being an entrepreneur, right? So you remember, when you're in business, you try new things, which is an experiment. Experiments don't always go well, right? And you have to accept that. Just like I said, you had to kiss a lot of frogs, you know, you had to go through a number of ideas. So when you try an experiment, don't think that is going to work out. Very likely it will not work out. But when it doesn't work out, you ask yourself, did I learn something from it? Because according to this guy, Thomas Edison, he was a great inventor. He said that he tried something 10,000 times and it doesn't work. So he know what doesn't work now, so he could focus on what works.
And maybe we can squeeze in one more. Family business dynamics, entrepreneurial intelligence in family business. Family businesses often stand out as some of the most successful ventures. What role does collective entrepreneurial intelligence play in the success of a family business?
Right. So family businesses not only has one entrepreneur, because that would be a solopreneur, you know, one person. Family businesses tend to have a group of people who think alike and who think entrepreneurially, hence the term collective entrepreneurial intelligence. So it may have started early, maybe the husband started a business or the wife, and they brought in the kids, and on the dinner table they started to talk and pass on the words of how they start the business and how they overcome the challenges. So the kids get an early indoctrination into business. Now, of course, if you're a salaried employee, you can't do that because you don't have a business. So families that are successful, they spend a lot of time with their kids and groom them, say, here this, you need to spend in vacation, you need to come and spend some time in the business. So they spread the word, the gospel of entrepreneurship at an early age, and therefore you have now a very successful business for the next generations.
Well, Mr. Hamid, thank you so much for taking the time to come in and speak to us about entrepreneurship and family business. Maybe next week we can continue on the next part of it, but we do appreciate taking the time.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio, Freedom 106.5.